The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, we are full of good hopes, even as we are aware of our smallness that hinders the flourishing of our hearts. So we pray to be attentive, to see the creation in its vivid detail, and to let it form in us wonder for your holiness. We pray to be released in our spirits, that our praise may come out of us as easily and naturally as our breath. Create in us contented hearts, O God, that lean always toward you as we follow Christ our Lord. Amen. I am so glad to welcome as our chapel speaker today, Eric Holland. He is a former intern of the St. Olaf Student Congregation and a former staff member here with me. He served some time as the pastor at Holden Village. Many of you know him from that. And now he is the president of Christ Church Lutheran Congregation in Minneapolis, where the pastor is, just by chance, a former St. Olaf Student Congregation intern, Christine Carlson. So we are so glad to welcome you back, Eric.
A reading from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, proclaim God's salvation from day to day. Declare God's glory among the nation and God's wonders among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, more to be feared than all gods. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols, but you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Majesty and magnificence are in your presence. Power and splendor are in your sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the people, ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due the holy name. Bring offerings and enter the courts of the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you all. It's a joy to be back here in Bow Memorial Chapel. Thank you, Pastor Koenig, for inviting me. What she didn't mention is that my work of late has been house painting, which, as you can imagine, is a very different thing than preaching. And so it's good to have opportunities to do this again, too. I recently read a book by N.T. Wright, who's a bishop in the Church of England and a well-known New Testament scholar. He's known for being something of a traditionalist, a conservative, if you will. But this book is called Surprised by Hope: Rethinking Heaven, the Resurrection, and the Mission of the Church. And his argument is that the popular version of Christianity, the one that goes, believe the right things so that your soul can go to heaven when you die, his main argument is that this simply misses the point of Christian scripture. The gospel is not about the souls of believers being saved while the world literally goes to hell. Rather, the gospel that Christians claim to know in Jesus is about the world, in fact, all creation, being claimed, redeemed, and made whole in God's merciful and all-healing love. Well, that could be my chapel talk right there. We could end it right now. But I do have a few more thoughts to share. And here's another from N.T. Wright. He goes on in that book to talk about the mission of the church and what that mission would be if we took seriously this good news that in Christ, God is about the reconciliation of all things, the healing of creation, the mending of all that is broken in the world. What would the church's mission be? He writes, first of all, that it would be the doing of justice, standing with the powerless, resisting oppression, in the hope and faith that these things cannot stand if God's love shall have its way. He also writes about witness, that the church formed in this hope is going to want to live out this vision and share this hope with an often sad and sorrowing world. And finally, he writes about something that quite frankly caught me off guard. He writes about beauty. He writes that if the church is to find its way of living out this hope in the all-healing love of God, then the church will also be a community that cares about beauty, beauty in the world. What do you think about that? The psalmist proclaims, "Sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." What do you think? Does the Christian life have something to do with beauty? I'd love to take good time and think through this with you, with anyone who cares, but we have a beautiful second hymn that I'd really like us to sing, and so I will share just a few thoughts way too briefly. One, beauty in this context has to mean something totally different than this ridiculous separation we have in our culture between high art and daily life. We seem to think that art is for specialists in theaters, galleries, and concert halls, while we, quite frankly, allow our daily lives to be surrounded by cheap, soulless things we're always throwing away. Wendell Berry, that farmer and writer whom I'm coming to consider one of our most necessary prophets, Berry has written that shoddy work is blasphemous. And he explains, it takes the good things of creation, the very work of God, and turns it into something cheap. Even if it gleams for a time, in our culture we're bound to throw it away, thereby demeaning and making ugly that which was created in the loving intention of God. And since everything was created in the loving intention of God, we don't have a right to waste or demean anything. Berry typically pulls no punches. This is blasphemy, he writes, to make shoddy work of the work of God. Going back to that distinction between high art and daily life, perhaps a better way, perhaps a more profoundly Christian way, is to claim that the most essential place for beauty is not in the gallery or the concert hall, as good as those things may be. The most essential place for beauty, for good work, for artistry, devotion, care, is the fabric of our very lives. What I'm going to say next is an extreme value judgment, and my partner Daniel would tell me I'm being way too sure of myself here, but I'm going to say it anyway. The most notable accomplishment, it seems to me, of our modern economy, our modern way of life, is that it has surrounded us with piles and piles of ugly, cheap, soulless things that will eventually end up in a landfill. And we continue to murder creation in order to produce them. Okay, so that is pretty harsh. But is it also maybe a little bit true? And if it is it possible that the gospel is calling us to some other way? And what if that way has something to do with beauty and with a love for the integrity, health, and sheer loveliness of creation? And while you're pondering that, here's one more thought. And I think this one is important too. If the Christian community is to claim beauty as one of the primary things it stands for, then we're going to have to be clear that the kind of beauty we're talking about goes hand in hand with justice. If this is going to have anything to do with Jesus, this can't be an argument for aesthetic taste over and against, say, social concern. That is, our care about beauty in daily life can't be allowed to overshadow the suffering of our neighbors. But is this really a choice that needs to be made? I'm aware that I could be opening quite the philosophical can of worms here, but I do not believe that injustice can produce of itself beauty. Beauty springs from love. Human beings have shown themselves capable of creating profound beauty under oppression, but there, I think, the beauty, the hope, is in the work of resistance. In the Christian view of things, injustice ultimately comes to naught. Evil, insofar as it exists, is anti-creative. It can only destroy. Creation is beautiful because it springs from God and because God is love. The truth, the ultimate truth, the truth worth staking our very lives upon, is the promise that in Christ's suffering love, God is gathering up all things. The promise that every created thing has a home in this unimaginably wide love, and that so does every creative, beautiful human act. Sin will be no more, the scriptures tell us, but every act of kindness, of mercy, of goodness and justice, everything that honors the earth and its creatures, in short, everything that is truly beautiful, all will be gathered up in the love of God. I'm convinced that there is no better way to spend our lives than to find ourselves caught up in this vision, yearning for this beauty, leaning into this blessed promise. But what does it mean, you know, in daily life? I wish I knew. I wish I could say, here's how you embody that promise. Here's how you live a beautiful life. I graduated from St. Olaf almost a dozen years ago now. I still don't know. But I will tell you this. I crave it more than ever. Beauty, simplicity, humility, compassion. I desire what the psalmist proclaims, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so I pray prayers like the hymn we're about to sing. In sacred manner may we walk upon the fair and loving earth, in beauty move, in beauty love the living round that brought us birth. Maybe you need prayers like this too. I wonder if the whole church doesn't need more prayers like this.
May you know yourselves and see one another as the beautiful work of God. Amen.